All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, thanks for checking in. Happy Friday. The best, the hardest hitting, the most comprehensive news and information available on your radio dial. We are in Orlando today, our wonderful affiliate down here in their palatial studios of AM 580 WDBO, and we will be in Atlanta tomorrow. And both days we have coming up what's called Meeting of the Mouths. It's a bunch of loudmouth talk show host types, pundit types, like myself, Neil Bortz, Clark Howard. Well, Neil Cavuto is the nicest man in television. He doesn't, he really, no, he is like us. And James Carville is on our newsmaker line to give us a little preview of the extravaganza. Mr. Carville, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. I just arrived at my hotel. I'm, you know, see you before. We'll touch gloves and get on out there and have a good time tonight.
And, you know, we've done this.
Some cokes and crack some jokes.
Well, I've been on the stage with you before, and I will say that people are in for a treat. I'm just going to sit back and let you do your thing because it's hilarious. And then we can have a serious discussion about the important issues of the day. So, but you are on the road quite a bit. You do a lot of these speeches.
Yes, sir, I do.
Yeah,
I am. I'm doing. We're doing one here, and we're doing one tomorrow in Atlanta. Then I go to Evansville and speaking to the Democrats out there, and then I do the speech time. The fall was pretty, you know, but the little slower election year. It's really a lot.
I'm sure there'll be, you know, no references to your friend Bill Clinton at all tonight. None.
I always stop. Look, I can remember what it, you know, said. It paid to have a man in there knew a little something.
Ooh, here we go. Now, Neil, are friends.
There's a lot going on in the world right now.
There really is. Let me ask, before I get to put Neil Bortz here on with you, we just had Bill Bennett on the program. Now, you know Bill Bennett. You've known Bill Bennett for years. I'm sure you've heard his remark in its full context. Don't you think this is unfair, what they're trying to do to him?
I think it's half and half. I think it's a little unfair, but there's certain things that you just can't say. And Bill Bennett is a lot of things. He's not a dumb man. And, you know, if you put everything Dick Durbin says in context, it certainly, you know, you could say it made sense. So is it, you know, I read the entire quote, and you could see what he was striving to do, but it was something, you know, there's a place you probably, you know, would have been a better idea for him not to go. And just like Durbin took a lot of heat, I thought some of it was, you know, pretty intense and maybe unjustified. Bennett's going, he's going to take some too. And, you know, it's just,
why don't you, if you
read the book, Freakonomics.
But if you don't believe he's a racist, and he talks about the book, and then he uses the word, it's a morally repugnant and reprehensible suggestion, why don't you give him the benefit of the doubt and take a lead?
I read what he said. I said that I understand what he was saying in the context. There's just some things, that some connections that you don't make. And one thing to say somebody's a racist, I'm not saying that, that he didn't see how that would lead to a great deal of sensitivity among people probably shows that, certainly I'm not going to say Bill Bennett's a racist. I'd be pretty loath to put that hook on anybody, but you could say there was insensitivity to that. But some time ago, and you could have your people look this up, the Philadelphia Inquirer suggested that they use Norplant in certain areas of the city and schools. I forgot the exact thing. And, you know, that's people could say that's a reasonable policy determination. And the African-American people at the paper just, they had to retract the editorial. People just thought it was some kind of a form of genocide or something.
But you
have a kind of history there, and you have a history of where the people who are just sensitive about this kind of stuff. And I'd say, you read everything Bennett said, you could certainly see the point that he was trying to make, but he's a smart enough guy to know that there's a place that you shouldn't go. So I'm saying, I said it's 50-50. I didn't jump on and call him a racist.
Bortz, here you have a case, and you, Mr. Insensitivity yourself.
I love insensitivity.
Well, you go out of your way to tick people off on your radio program all the time.
It's my goal in life.
What do you think of his comments?
I think that the media, elements of the media, are making a concerted effort to take advantage of his comments and try to paint him as some sort of a right-wing racial demagogue or something. I think he's being treated totally unfair here. We don't have the advantage that newspaper columnists and what have you have. We can't write something out, read it, have somebody else read it, edit it, change the sentence, and then present it. We say it, and it's out there. And James has the same thing on TV. And there's many times all of us would like to go back and revise our remarks. We don't have the opportunity to do that.
Congress does.
Yeah, Congress does, but that makes us tougher than people who write for a living, by the
way. Well, what bothers me more than anything else here is this man has a history. This man was a drug czar. This man spent a lot of time in both white neighborhoods, African-American neighborhoods, poor neighborhoods, in rich schools, poor schools, and he has a history, he has a background,
a history,
he has a track
caring.
Record
yeah.
of caring and compassion for all people of all backgrounds and all races. And what I see here is a purposeful manipulation, an out-of-context remark that is made here, not put in its proper context, because I think there's a broader agenda here, which is... I think a bunch of people in the left-wing media want to destroy any conservative any way they can, and there's never a case of benefit of the doubt. There's never an opportunity to revise or extend one's remarks. This is about political character assassination.
Please tell me you're not surprised.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
All of this, I would make the case is, if you say something and Neil says something, I say something, it's quite different. Bennett has an onus on him because he's the former Secretary of Education, and he is the former drug czar. So he's in a little bit different place. Neil makes a good point. We don't get a chance when you're out there and you're popping off. I certainly don't want to be judged by the dumbest thing I ever. You know what I mean? That my IQ is determined by the dumbest thing I ever said in my life. And I've said a lot of dumb things.
I think we could all agree we've said dumb things.
A smart enough guy to know that this is a place you don't go. And he certainly, I wouldn't call Bennett a racist, but going that place, he demonstrated insensitive nature. By the way, I actually read Freakonomics.
Let me ask you this, James, seriously.
The whole argument.
He says, and I have a transcript of what he said. He says one of the arguments in the book Freakonomics deals with the hypothesis that crime will go down. If crime will go down, if the abortion rate goes up, he makes the statement. Wait a minute, and then out of the statement,
right.
What?
Well, what the guy said is that crime went down because you legalized abortion. That's
okay,
what he said.
But that,
he didn't hypothesize. He said it's a fact.
Okay, but that's what the premise is. But Bennett said it's a hypothesis. In the book Freakonomics, they deal with the hypothesis. He didn't even say it was fact. The book says it, but he said
whether it's fact or not. I'm just telling you what.
All right, so then he brings up he brings up his comment, and then immediately after the comment says it was quote ridiculous, quote morally reprehensible, quote far-reaching extrapolations should not be used. What else do we want from the guy?
You know. Again, I go back to, I said I didn't think he was racist. He should have never brought up if you had every black had an abortion, the crime rate go down. I just said I wasn't. I said I read what he said. And what I would say is given all of the things that we faced with right now, Bill Bennett's either justifiable or insensitive comment that don't loom very big in the whole sense of stuff that's going on out there. But it does show there's some places that you can't go, all right? And, you know, sometimes we do it. Neil and guys like that, myself, humor ain't, or points are not sometimes not worth a damn unless you exaggerate them. And I understand that. And artists will tell you the same thing, that, you know, it exaggeration makes a point. So I don't know. I'm torn. I don't think he meant to say that. I don't think he was condoning all blacks having abortions, but you should have. That just ain't the place you go.
Sean, can I interrupt a second?
Yeah.
James, if you're going to be at the hotel, I'd rather be there drinking with you than here with Sean. Can I come on over?
Now, we were talking about getting a few drinks here on the way back. Now,
on Sean's new Gulfstream 200. Yeah.
Now, by the way, did he tell you that I owned an airplane, Mr. Carville?
He did. He told me that the first thing you did, and I just want to be sure, because I want accuracy in media here.
Yes, sir.
The first thing you did is you went down to Savannah and bought yourself a big Gulfstream. I said, well, I'll tell you what.
Would you like the truth, Mr. Carville?
No, I do not own
an airplane, but Mr. Bortz does own an airplane. He owns two airplanes. I own no airplanes.
The journalists have a thing. It's too good to check out.
Yeah, so it's leased.
I want the truth. You know what I mean?
I don't lease one either.
I don't want the truth.
Listen, I have stock in JetBlue and American and Delta because I fly on them so often, unlike Mr. Bortz and his private little airplane that
stock
he's flying
in Delta?
Around in.
Gee, that's too bad.
Yeah, that's too bad at this point. Anyway, listen, what are we going to talk about tonight there, Mr. Carville? I guess we'll talk about the gleeful race to capitalize on a catastrophe by your friends in the Democratic Party. I have no doubt that'll come up tonight. Well, maybe we could talk about the Bull Connor remark of Charlie Rangel.
I think there's a lot of stuff that's going on out there. I mean, I think there are large issues here. You know, I think we got to talk about what's going on in Iraq. I think we got to talk about what's going on in the Congress. We got to talk about what's going on in the Democrats, or maybe the lack of what's going on with the Democrats more aptly.
That's
but
fair.
I don't mind talking about that. And I think with us on the stage, I don't think the audience is going to get some sort of canned reply here, and we'll create a lot of topics out there.
I think we will.
You never
I think
know. It's gonna... The best thing to do is just throw the ball in there and see where it lands.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
If you try to rejigger these things and get the topics, it's never as much fun as just getting up and letting it rip.
I think I'm just going to sit back and watch you and Mr. Bortz fight it out. I think I'll enjoy every minute of that.
No, James and I are going to pick on you.
Yeah, I've never seen you sit back on anything. That's not good nature. You'll have that... You'll have a pin around your fingers there and, you know,
say is, what did you do to Bob Novak to make him flip out and walk off the set? What did you make him do that for?
What I did, he's like, what the hell was that about? And I'm thinking, again, you do one thing, and you do one thing and you just kind of, that's what people do. The problem with television is everybody sees it and they just play it over and over and over and over and over again, you know?
Well, that was one of those moments. I actually thought you were being pretty nice and humorous and kind of funny, and I didn't understand what he got so angry about.
I'm telling you. All right, guys, I got to go get ready for my big debate. I got to take my run, but I'll see you all tonight.
All right, Brother Carville.
Back on that big Gulfstream 5 that you just bought there in Savannah.
I'm flying commercial. I don't know what plane you guys are flying on, but thank you all. Now, can I ask you a question, Mr. Bortz? Why do you go on your radio program?